Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We oftentimes hear about tension some place or another, and we think it may not be a good thing. If you're tense, it's a sign that you're in a difficult situation. If you have tension in your back or neck or some place, it can cause pain. So, and sometimes we refer to it as a watered down version of antagonism. That it hasn't come to the fisticuffs yet, but there's apparently one side against another, and this is to be avoided at all costs. Maybe it's just that I was raised with a bunch of engineers, but this is not always true. The other day, I had the chance to go over to Gig Harbor, which of course means a trip across the Narrows Bridge. That's a wonderful thing. I love those kinds of things that you are able to enjoy such an incredible view and yet to marvel at how these things work. It works because of tension. Those cables are attached at both ends to the rock on across the Narrows. If one side were to simply stop or be cut and say, well, we're tired of this thing, we're going over to the other side, the entire bridge would again collapse into the water. That would not be a good thing. What we need is a strong anchor to both sides of the shore. And then it continues to stand there and to allow us to do our work and to enjoy the wonders of nature. I mention this because we should be reminded that Jesus Christ had two natures. This is, of course, a confirmation review here. You should know this stuff. Luther was very clear that when we talk about Jesus being human and being divine, this is not half and half. This is not some sort of mix. Jesus is at the same time both fully human and fully divine. We need to follow Jesus, and we wonder at times, how does this work? There is both the human and the divine side of our life and our faith. And we hold on to both of them. If we do not, truly serve God as God intends. One hit against the church is that at times it seems that we are so earthly minded that we are no heavenly good. That there are some people who are so insistent upon the fact that you come to Jesus in some way and be able to point to exactly the time and place that happened. And if you cannot do that in some way, then there may be something deficient about your faith at all. That the entire endeavor is about finding a way to get to heaven when we die. We know there's more to it than that. At the same time, there is the human side. Taking care of those around us, being concerned about the things that this world needs, alive in such a way that we are aware of the challenges before us. Here too, we have been given a great gift because God has already spoken in Jesus Christ and has declared that our sins are forgiven. We know that our place in heaven is assured. So guess what? We don't have to worry about that. And if we do not, then we are set free to do other amazing things that are needed and necessary down here, and being concerned for those around us. Well, how does this apply to John 6? The people who are hearing Jesus were beginning to sort of figure it out, that he was talking about more than just earthly bread, that this was more than just a meal ticket. When he began to say, "I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven," they were beginning to catch on. There may be more to this than they were ready to receive. Indeed, they could only see the human side. Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can this person really be the bread of life that comes down from heaven? How ridiculous that is. Well, not so much. In Jesus Christ, he holds both together. He comes into the world to do the work of God. And because of Jesus' work, and because he is the bread of life that gives life to us too, and because we have indeed tasted of that bread, and we do not look for anything else. We are not hungry and we are not thirsty for something else. We know where the real life is. That allows us to fully enter into life, knowing that on one hand, yes, we are concerned about this world and our ways of making it better. And for those of us who have things to do, we get up in the morning and go off to our jobs or to our tasks or to our avocations or whatever a challenge is before us. And we do what we can to make the world a better place. But at the same time, we know we do this in the presence of a God who cannot be contained in this world. There's just too much there. God is the one who reigns over the world, and yet this is exactly in whose presence we live, even now. And we look for the promise that on that day we will stand before God, who will indeed welcome us in and give us the gifts that have always been promised to us. Our life is like this bread, both heavenly and divine. And it is found in no place else than in Jesus Christ himself. Amen.